Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7 Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we go through slowly and methodically and try to help you understand God's Word and all that's written there and all that's written there that you don't notice the first time you go through it. You got to read this book over and over methodically because God said there are mysteries in here that are not in plain sight. It does His heart good for you to search them out. Come a long way to the book of Amos. Amos is an all-weather prophet. He is all over the place. He's talking about the decrepit times that Israel is in at the time of his life, and it also extends into latter day prophecies. A lot of prophecies in this Bible are dual. They go for the time at that moment and also end times. He touches on the giants, seed of the giants, seed of the serpent, still being in the world. He tells you that God demands obedience. He made you. Your Creator makes you. He demands obedience from you. He punishes if you do not obey. And God is in charge of all things, good, bad, or indifferent. And I tell you what, His special ones get out of line. He punishes personally. Amos is all of this within his writings. And there's even a point in here where he basically says Jehovah takes a hands-off approach at a certain point and waits on the Messiah to come. It's a difficult read, but lots of good stuff in the book of Amos. It's going to touch on a couple things, a lot of things in this book that you haven't heard in church. Not the first time mankind has been on this planet. There were two floods. First time God turned the lights out. Second time, at least the second time in Genesis, he says, let there be light. Told the first two that he created on the sixth day to go and replenish the earth. Imagine that. Nobody ever caught that, did they? Two children in the womb of Eve, two different fathers, seed of the serpent, the seed of Adam. Ever wonder why you struggle with your mind? Because we're all mixed now. Catch the first episode on WBFFradio.com, and hopefully you'll come along on the ride with us in the book of Amos today. Chapter 1, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Very bad time for Israel and Judah. In the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion, utter his voice from Jerusalem, and habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. This is right about the time that God turns his back on Israel. And the only reason he doesn't do it to Judah is because he promised David there would always be one of his offspring on the throne. It's gotten that bad. I mean, we had seen... At a certain point during the tenure of Elijah, the prophet, God says there are 7,000 left in the land that have not bent the knee to Baal. There were 4 or 5 million people in the nation at that time. We're 7,000 left. This is just giving you a understanding of what's become of this God-fearing people, America. What's become of America? How many are there left that haven't bent the knee to Baal? Or the modern-day Baals of the world? Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4 I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. As a reference to them coming against his people and waging war. But I will send a fire unto the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the plain of Aven, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity into Kir, saith the Lord. God often uses these other nations to chastise Israel and Judah. But understand, these are heathen nations. There are followers of God there, but these are basically heathen nations. And he uses them as a chastising rod, but they will face judgment for what they do to his children, good, bad, or indifferent on how his children are acting at the time. He needs them to rain judgment down, but because they are, it's a vicious circle, because they are raining judgment down at his behest, they must pay for raining judgment down on his children, and it can all be stopped by them following God too. God never excluded anyone. He just chose a special group, the Jews, to bring forth the line of the Messiah. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod and him that holdeth the scepter of Ashkelon. I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. The remnant of the Philistines shall perish. They will exit this world. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity of Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off pity of all, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. You remember the prophecy that Edom, all of Esau, and that's Edom, you know, remember Jacob and Esau? Because of Esau's hatred toward his brother, God is going to completely remove the line of Esau. And this is one of the prophecies in the book. There's many in here about that. So this thing that happens over in the Middle East, you know, the Jewish and the Arabs continually fighting. I don't care what your pastor said, it's not Jacob and Esau's people. Esau's people exited this world completely. God said, I will cut off every man that pisseth against the wall from the line of Esau. And he's basically saying, because of his hatred, and he never forgave his brother. I mean, we're going back hundreds of years in God's wrath now. The Israelites have become so decrepit, God says, you know what? I got a large list of paybacks, and it's all coming due. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with children of Gilead, they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Reba, and it shall devour the palaces thereof, with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of whirlwind, and their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith God, and it is on the horizon. Chapter 2, the book of Amos. David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, understanding the Bible. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof. And you notice, he's not saying for one transgression. What I'm saying here is this stuff is built up over time. God is a very forgiving, very loving God. But you continue to transgress against him, Christian. One of you that knows the Lord, continue to disobey and see what happens. It will build up, and God will allow Satan on a certain day, who's been up there begging to thump Mr. Smith, because I know he belongs to you, God, but he's not being a good actor. And God will eventually say, yes, you can do this and this and this to him. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kirioth. And Moab shall die with tumult and shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord. I'm going to cut any influence that I have with you. You'll no longer have any guidance. Have you noticed the guidance in America coming from the pulpit has gone, Jonathan?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it used to be such a bright light that shined out into the nation. And it's basically gone. You flip through these TV evangelists, and all you hear is, send me money. More money, money, and more money. Giant seed offering, $1,000, will get you healed and get rid of that pimple on your nose, guaranteed.
Yes, sir.
It's
doctrines.
Yeah.
Brand new, just make up your... it's like what we were talking about with Phineas.
Phineas started it, didn't
right?
he?
Make up your own.
The original televangelist, Phineas. Let's do it for money.
That's right.
We've been doing it because we were told to do it. God told us to do it, and we were supposed to be special because of that. But, man, we can make some money behind this pulpit.
Yes, sir.
Let's bring it in. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord. Ah, yeah, he's talking about Judah there. You know, Judah has a lot of other sins, but there is a promise that God is keeping. So he's going to punish them for despising the law of the Lord only. And he will not destroy them completely because he made a promise to David. And all through this book, God constantly relents about the promises he has made.
Yeah.
Why did I make that promise?
I put my foot right in my own mouth. I didn't even realize it. Well, I did, but...
Because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments, and their lies cause them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. What is he taking from them? The very thing that caused them to get into the situation they're in. Excess. And it all started with Solomon. Solomon built God a house, then built himself a nicer house. 1,000 wives. He had asked for the wisdom to rule God's people. God gave it to him. And then he got into excess, Christian. Paul says all things must be kept in moderation to keep the spirit man in control of the mind that is contrary to the will of God. That's the only way to keep this flesh on the narrow path. All things in moderation, because as soon as you eat too much fried chicken, and I'm serious, that is the gateway drug to spiritual deadness, okay? Put this body in control. Oh, man. As soon as you pack on a few extra pounds, what's it want? It wants more. More and more. The spirit man loses a little control. Then it's just more wine, more drink, more food. Oh, well, a little bit of drugs won't hurt me either. Yeah, and that sex thing, you know, maybe you just need a little bit more than just with the wife, you know. This mind, this Bible says the mind is contrary to the will of God. I place the spirit in the heart, God says. Well, that's just an organ that pumps blood. No, it's not. It is the nesting place of the spirit man that God has placed inside you.
This book says that the eyes of the heart. So some, you know, you see through your heart as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, just being an organ that pumps blood, silly.
And you let some bad news come to you instantly. Where do you feel it? You don't feel it in your mind. Your mind immediately begins to contemplate how to deal with it. The heart skips a beat. And you feel it right there. The spirit man goes, oh, whoa.
And almost like reflex, your hand goes directly to cover your heart to hear certain things.
It is. It is a case. It is not just an organ that pumps blood. It is the residence of the spirit man. Do not put it to sleep with those fried chicken dinners that, you know, you can survive on one chicken leg. You don't need the whole half a chicken, okay? Trust me on this. You know what? Fast every other day, you will see the spirit man take control. You'll see your mind become clear and sharp. You'll see the things that are important in your life begin to come to the surface.
Energy.
Yes. Absolutely. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. They have left all of my commandments behind. Charity to the poor. Pursuit of money. The pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor. Turn aside the way of the meek. And the man and his father shall go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. That is explicitly forbidden in the Levitical law. But if you know, Baal worship says, whatever you want to do, flesh-wise, you do it. They have great big orgies in Baal worship.
Yeah, they have sex magic.
Yes. And, you know, daughters are not off limits. Mothers and wives, you know, men sharing with their sons. Absolute blasphemy to God. These of Israel, it's not Judah now. Judah's being punished for not following the law because God is bound by a promise. Israel is not. The line of Judah only. And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar. And they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. They are following after every magical spirit and every false god and demon that the earth has. Yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, even though I have still been protecting them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. The giants, the great stories of David and Goliath and all of the giants that were conquered when they came in to the land of Canaan have been forgotten. All of the stories have been forgotten. The law has been forgotten. They are God's children in name only. All they know is what the secular society has told them now, because each generation has failed the newer generation and not told them about God, not read them God's statutes, the book of remembrance that Moses had written, because he knew they wouldn't read the entire law. That's like getting legal journals off the bookshelf. You know, who has time to do that? He wrote a little, cliff notes?
Yeah.
Cheat notes.
Yeah.
Little tiny pocket edition, like the pocket constitution that you carry around.
I've got one upstairs.
Yeah, for quick reference, he says, put it everywhere. Make thousands of copies. Hang it everywhere you go. You know, carry one with you. But no, they're all been lost. There was even a point where the so-called priest at the time came to the king and says, oh, look at this ancient book that we found. What is it? King says, oh, that's the law of God. I've heard things about this. Have you heard things about this, Jonathan? Where'd you find it at?
I thought it was a made-up, what do you call it?
It was at a pawn shop in Jerusalem. No, it wasn't. It was in the corner in the temple with newspapers piled on top of it. That's how far the Levitical line has gotten from God. If your priests are failing, if your preachers are failing, America, how can the people be in any kind of balance? You got to have the light from the pulpits. And the Israel's, the line of priests, the Levites, had failed. They started chasing money, televangelists, and multi-million dollar churches. It's all about money these days. And I raised up your sons for prophets. And of your young men of Nazarites, is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink. Ah, you led my chosen ones astray. Nazarites shall drink no wine. Commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Ah, don't even want to listen to my prophets. No matter what I do, you have turned your back on me. Behold, I am pressed under you as the cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. Therefore, the flight shall perish from the swift. Ah, all the gifts I have given you are going to go away. And the strong shall strengthen his force. Neither shall the mighty deliver himself. And nothing you do to try to protect yourself in any way will deliver you. Neither shall he stand that handleth the bow. And he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself. Neither shall he that rideth a horse deliver himself. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord. Nothing you do when my judgment comes, nothing of your own ability will help you. America, chapter 3, the book of Amos. Hear this word the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Yes, read that again. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you from all your iniquities. God never excluded anyone, and it's very evident in this book. There was a way for all, and there were all sorts of other nations following God of heaven. But he came and dwelt with these people. They were his special ones, not his only ones, his chosen ones to be the priest line, to bring forth the line of Messiah, to preserve a single pure line of the line of Adam because of the seed of the serpent and the fall that happened in the garden and the two children in Eve's womb with two different fathers. But they wouldn't keep themselves pure. He told them to come to the land of Canaan and remove all the inhabitants because they are mixed with the seed of serpent. I don't want my special ones mixed. But he was working with the ones in Canaan, the ones mixed with the seed. He was working with them, had covenants with them. He said they haven't transgressed enough yet. They will, though. I see it coming. They will cross the line just like you have crossed the line now here in Amos. They will cross the line, and I will expel them from the land because they have totally turned their backs on me. God never excluded anyone. When he gave Abraham the first covenant, and it was not the Ten Commandments, Pastor, open the book and read it. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. The simplicity of love your God with all your heart. What did Christ tell you to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And be kind and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, you've taken care of the entire law, he says. The law was given because they couldn't follow God with all their heart. It was given as a stumbling block and a teacher to make them hate trying to keep themselves holy, to make them cry out to go back to the simplicity of the first covenant which Christ brought. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. And through the first covenant and the reestablishment of the first covenant in Christ, Paul says all things are legal for the Christian, but not all things are good for the Christian. And if you follow Christ with all your heart, you will know the difference because you have the Holy Spirit now, a thing that these folks did not have. The Holy Spirit would come and anoint them occasionally when needed, and God fulfill their hearts. And then those with the strong hearts would continue to follow after him, and the others would just fall away and rely on the religion to keep themselves holy. Religion will end you in hell and bondage and separation from God. God hates religion. He wants a spiritual connection to you. He wants you to love him with all your heart and follow after him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Yes. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? No, there will be a trap for him. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? No, nothing to holler about. And have taken nothing at all. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? All things are the Lord's, good, bad, or indifferent. Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Yes. Just what I said. Oh, that's not right. God is the God of love. Satan is the evil one. Yeah, well, you know what? God is even in charge of him. He gives him a lot of latitude. But when he asks, let me thump Jonathan on the head because he was a bad boy last week. God thinks about it. He weighs Jonathan's heart and he says, okay, you can mess with his finances a little bit. That's all. Don't hurt him in any other way. But let Jonathan get really a bad boy and God might let him do a little bit more. Satan even works for God. Sorry, Jonathan.
No, no, it's fine.
You're just sitting across the desk, buddy. Hey, easy target.
I was going to say that same word. He took the words right out of my mouth. not to circle back too far, but one verse back on that, can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no jinn for him?
Yeah.
Oddly enough, G-I-N, that word jinn right there, is Arabic for demon.
Demon? Yes. Yeah. 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 Okay, a trap or right. A demon? Yes.
If you ever hear people of the Muslim descent and stuff like that speak about the demons, they call them jinn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it goes back to the genie in the bottle and all that.
That's where we get the word genie.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Shall there be evil in this city, and the Lord hath not done it? It says in this book, you're one of his special ones. And that doesn't apply to all Christians. God's kingdom is vast. Very few Christians will see heaven. They'll see God's kingdom. But heaven is for the special ones. You're one of the special ones. God will punish you himself. Because I like to say, my sins are greater than yours, Christian. I've read this book over 100 times through in different passages hundreds of times. And I still disobey. I know it backwards and forwards. And I still get out of line. That way, you know, when I do it, it's more grievous than when you do it. Because you haven't read the book. Or you've read it just a little bit. I'm not being arrogant here. I've been a Christian all my life, and I've met so many, and they don't read. Nobody reads it. They've memorized a half a dozen verses, and they use half a dozen verses to make their points. But, you know, ignorance is bliss, I guess. If you don't know it, you don't know how often you transgress against it. And knowing it, I know my sins are worse than yours. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? God is coming in his wrath. The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Publish in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces of the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. Judgment is coming, America, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, an adversary shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled, looted. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of the bed and in Damascus in a couch. You know that what that means? The shepherd has found a lamb that has been attacked by a lion, and all he gets back is two legs. Well, when this happens, there'll be very few of the Israelis left. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. No more mercy. You have taxed my mercy to the limit. I have been here watching, waiting, sending prophets, sending you word. The preachers are preaching. Now the preachers are taking money. It's only getting worse. My priests are not even in it for me anymore. Everything is falling apart, and I've been watching and waiting. And the horns of the altar represent mercy, and it will be cut off. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house. And the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. Everything from the government down to the lowest man. Chapter 4, Book of Amos, WBFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. Bashan is known for its spiritual evil and power. Those who bask in that, those who have practiced their dark craft on my people, I'm going to take you out too. Christ even mentioned the bulls of Bashan when he was on the cross. They are surrounding me at this time, he says. He was talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. Can you imagine, Jonathan, what spiritually was around that cross that day?
Ooh, yeah, it's spooky.
They came because they knew something big was up. They wasn't sure what, but they knew something big was happening, and the heads of all the evil departments were there. That's what he said, the bulls of Bashan surround me.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.